meeting in order. Planning Commission. And establish a quorum.
Carrie Myers is present.
John Cameron, present.
Mary Hatfield, present.
Kathy Van Dam, present.
Russ Smith, present. We've got a quorum. About the Pledge of Allegiance. Terry?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, do we have any added agenda items? No new ones?
Not for me.
Okay. Approval of the last meeting?
I approve of the last meeting minutes.
Do I have a second?
I'll second.
And second, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? They are approved. New business, John Morgan.
So I'm pleased to present Mr. John Morgan to the Planning Commission tonight. Terry, I know that you were at the last meeting, but John Morgan is a contract planner that we've brought on basically to handle the work that Tammy Wisco used to handle.
Right.
In addition to that, John is also going to help us with our long-range planning because as I've discussed with the Planning Commission and the Council, we're at this critical period of time where we're experiencing a lot of growth and we may want to be revisiting our vision and what our long-range goals are for the city and definitely manage our code as it stands today and make any amendments that might be necessary to handle our growth in the future. John brings over 2 decades of experience. He's been a city manager. He's been a community development director in various locations throughout Oregon, the largest city of which was Sherwood. So he brings a wealth of experience and I'm very happy to introduce him to you tonight. He wanted the opportunity to represent himself and tell you a little bit about his background and tell you about the work he plans to help us with here in the city. So with that, John, you're on.
Super, thank you. This is going to be a bit of a repeat of the conversation I had with the City Council at their last meeting. But I appreciate the opportunity that Jeff has given me to introduce myself to you and to hear any questions or anything that you might have. Just start out by saying that my work is focused on helping communities, generally rural communities around the state, in achieving that which is most important to them in terms of their structure, their process, their future. And I take just a great passion for Oregon's rural communities and love working with them all over the state. So this is very exciting for me. I've done a lot of work with Madras, and now it's great to move South Bend and to be able to help you for a while. My background is over 40 years in the community development and city management field, and my hometown is Lebanon, where I was born and raised, fifth generation Oregonian, so I feel pretty deep about all this. And I'd say as a kid, I had great memories of visiting with friends who lived in an A-frame in Lapine, out in the piney woods there, and it was always a lot of fun, summer and winter. What Jeff has asked is for us to help with, as he said, long-range things and to be available to help if there's any major applications or, and then of course these planning project ideas, to be able to supplement the staff in that regard and then to really focus on a few things, as he said. The development code and probably is a precursor to the development code is to take a look at city conference's land. We know that the city incorporated in 2006 and a lot's happened since then in terms of growth and activity, and we want to help you as the lead organization. The Planning Commission will be the lead at taking a look at the comp plan and its goals and policies, programmatic things, just to update to make sure that it reflects what the community wants. I know that in 2006, and right after that, the very first thing the city did legally to the great degree was to have to adopt the comprehensive plan and the development code of its own. I know because I worked extensively with Damascus that failed at that effort, but you were able to pull that together and make it happen quite quickly. Well, you know, 14 years of experience now with that new material, more than that, or less than that, I suppose. It's time to take a fresh look at it and see that it reflects really what you want in the future of the community. And that then will move also, of course, into the development code with the idea of seeing if it is exactly reflective of comprehensive plan policies and goals that you will set, the council will adopt, and look toward things that are important to you in terms of needed changes, streamlining processes, making sure that the code is up to date in terms of state and federal law, but also best practices. My business partner, Walt Mandelowski, and I have done this kind of work with many cities where we go through and do essentially an audit from our perspective of looking at the code and coming up with a package of questions for you. And those will be section by section saying, it says this today, is that really what you want? Or to say, our experience is it might look better this way. Would you consider that? Whatever. And then to offer that audit to you where we will walk through it, and based on your input back to us, we'll be able to draft code amendments and bring them back to you for consideration and moving through to your recommendation to council and council ultimately for adoption. This is going to take quite a few months to go through this work. I think you'll see me probably at most of your planning commission meetings. I'm hoping that soon can be in person. I get my second shot next week, so I might be all right to move or to travel, we'll see. But look forward to this work and other things that may come along. I congratulate the council, and I'll congratulate you on having Jeff join your staff. He's a terrific guy. He and I worked together in Wheeler and Garibaldi in his time there, and it's been great watching him explode in his career and for him to take on this position with you. I know he's extremely happy, especially since the drive to Bachelor is quite short compared to what it used to be. So, yeah, I look forward to speaking with him at Bachelor myself. So any questions, anything I can answer for you right now?
I have one. Ms. Morgan, we have a reputation. I work at the chamber, first of all, and I hear an awful lot of comments from contractors, from businesses, that we drag our feet here in Lapine. What are you going to do to help us get through the permitting process and the stuff that we need to do so that we're not losing people that we need here for our own economic development?
You know, dragging the feet probably comes from two things. One is a code structure that is perhaps not exactly what would help keep the city from dragging its feet. And if you want to drag your feet, that's fine. And if you don't, we'll find ways to amend the code so it doesn't necessarily stand in your way. The other, and this is going to be important to you, is for you to decide as a planning commission what your job is. How much involvement do you want to have in all the development work that happens in the city? I can tell you right now, we're on exactly the same track with Zanita, which we call the West Lake Oswego Neighborhood Association, and those folks want to stick their fingers into everything. And I doubt that reflects the values of Lapine, where you want to go and the opportunities that are out there that you want to pursue. So what we're going to look at structure, but we also have to look at what you want in terms of the amount of time that you and the planning commission spend on things. And then of course we're going to be working with Jeff from a staff perspective. It's a small staff. Historically you've not had a planning director per se. It's been the city manager. So now We're going to free Jeff up to do the work he needs to do and be able to help streamline all of the processes in planning and possibly perhaps other places in City Hall.
Thank you.
Long answer, I'm sorry.
I wanted to add to that, John, you know, what is usually not taken into account in terms of the length and period of time of an application process procedures. Like many places, we handle the planning aspect of it. The building end is handled by the county, and we can't, you know, we can't control for the length of time it takes on the building end. In addition to part of what you're bringing to the table, as you stated, is streamlining the code to a certain degree, because we do have elements in our requirements that I would say consistently we find are not met in applications, such as the burden of proof, like in a conditional use process. And it is, we're endeavoring to make that as simple as possible, yet still meeting and maintaining the requirements as expressed in the comprehensive plan and the code. So, you know, part of what takes a long time in those situations is returning an application to an applicant and having to ask them for the same thing two or three times. Mm-hmm. And we're going to try to make that simpler, more straightforward with your help. So thank you.
Right, and if I could just say something really quickly. I think that John will be a huge help with refining our code, but, you know, like we were just talking about, we are growing at an unprecedented rate. We are getting these applications done within the legal allotted amount of time. And that's sort of, you know, the best we can do at this point. It's just me, and we're getting a lot of applications. But I think John will help for sure. And, you know, if you ever have somebody who is having a bad experience or has, you know, feedback, I would love to talk to them. Yeah, because I'm not getting that negative feedback. So
we'll make sure that you're involved when we have that happen.
Yeah, for sure. I think that a simple explanation usually, you know, changes people's mindset. So.
Rest of the commission, are there other questions?
The audio is a bit garbled, but I, right on.
Well, I think one of the things, when I look at the application and all the different people that it has to go through, we go through the fire department, we go through a lot of people.
Yeah, it's not just
me. As long as we are keeping inside, number one, we have to do it legally. We only have 120 days, period.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But on top of that, we're trying to do this with part-time planners and, mm-hmm. you know, in a system right now. And our assistant has really helped us get a lot of stuff through recently.
Mm-hmm.
But some of these people come in here with these huge operations and say, well, why isn't it done inside 2 weeks? Well, guess what? No. You've been planning it for how many years? Mm-hmm. And you want it done in 2 weeks?
Yeah, there's a lot to look at.
Yeah.
And I think what I've been stressing lately to different developers is, you know, please schedule a pre-app meeting. You know, nobody likes to be surprised with this enormous development. If you have something in the works, we would love to have a meeting, me, Jeff, Jake, our engineer, or maybe even John, to just go over things preliminarily. Because then when you get to the point of application, it goes faster. We already have an idea of what's going on, and so does the developer, and we're all on the same page, you know?
I think it's also important to note that a lot of the pre-apps and sort of exploratory discussions we've been having lately with potential applicants center around potential applications that are aiming in the direction of variance or exception. I had this conversation with the Deschutes County Community Development Office yesterday at the county level, and they're experiencing the same thing. And a lot of that is driven by the fact that the low-hanging fruit, the very easily buildable land, is gone. And what's left is, it's going to be hard for developers to pencil out bringing, you know, the efficiencies they need to make a return on investment without maybe putting more on a lot than what our code allows. So quite often those conversations are slowed down by the fact that it's not a black and white, yes, okay, let's get this going and move it forward. It's, well, it's going to require a type 2 or type 3 decision, public hearing, et cetera, and that definitely slows things down.
One of the other things we also have here is a lot of our land right now is tied up with the county.
That is true.
Right?
The county does not respond quite as fast as we do.
Yeah.
Very nicely.
I mean, I'm turning.
I don't want to throw rocks at them, but, you know, we could move a lot faster if we didn't have to go through all that.
Yeah, and Jeff and I, as well as Jake, we met with the county recently. And we're going to start having some regular meetings just so that we can all be on the same page. And, you know, especially not having a permit tech or any sort of representative from the county here, which they do plan to come back. So I think once everybody's vaccinated, we'll have somebody back here, and that'll take some work off my plate for sure.
Now, that's another problem I never even thought of, is we don't have anybody sitting here once a week at least.
Yeah. So then I end up having to go to Ben sometimes, you know, if people are submitting physical plans, then yeah.
So, any other?
Let me add just a little bit to that. My experience working with all over the state with planning commissions and city councils is I often hear this complaint that, gee, the planning commission always approves everything. And which my response is yes. Because the staff gets these things before they ever get to the planning commission, which means as part of that process that Jeff just talked about, we sit with those applicants or potential applicants and walk through and say, you know, they're gonna need this, the planning commission's gonna expect this, that'll never fly, you know, whatever, and help them tailor their development proposals and therefore their applications so that they are better at meeting up front what the community is looking for as expressed by you at the planning commission. And then also, it's an opportunity for us to say to someone, not a chance, and you know, send them off. But hopefully we can massage applications so they're fairly easy to deal with when they come to you. I'm not saying we make decisions. I'm not saying we expect you to be rubber stamped. But at least we're going to do a little quality control to help those applications come in good form for you.
Yeah, exactly. I totally agree. You know, we're going over the development standards. We're going over with, you know, Jake's going over the public improvements they're going to have to do. And that oftentimes vets a lot of people. You know, people think that they're going to put up this huge development and not have to contribute to roads, or, you know, they're going to have to upgrade their sewer. So, instead of them applying and we get to the point of, well, I can't approve this, it sort of eliminates that.
Yeah, because we do have a lot of infrastructure right now because of growth, period.
Right.
You know, water and sewer just are not automatically there, say nothing of roads, which we didn't even have an SDC for 6 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
John, you seem like you were going to make another comment.
I'm fine. Let me just close by saying I'm really excited to be able to work with you. It's been fun watching Lapine evolve immensely for the last 20 years, and I am very excited to be there to help out. And Tony Gabone's a good personal friend, so I'll work on that county response thing with him.
Thank you, John.
Thank you for your work.
Oh, the one other thing that Jeff had sort of volunteered you for doing some education for us.
Oh, yeah.
People here.
Did you catch that, John?
None of us have the planning background to even be here type of thing. I mean, we have not been planners forever. And we could use some help.
One of the things that we talked about is bringing my planning circus, if you will, to Lapine. I've been teaching a class called Planning in Oregon for about 13 years, all over the state. This was set up through the League of Oregon Cities. They asked me to do it. I do it independently. I do it really often for individual communities where we try to get the planning commission and the council, because they're decision makers too, and the staff together and walk through a very thorough education on the planning process. Why we do what we do, how do we do it, how do we keep our nose clean, how do we make good decisions. And it's really, really helpful for planning commission and councils to go through that kind of process too. I'll take your information and to make sure everyone understands what's going on and you all understand the same thing. You all learn the same thing, and that's important. So hopefully we'll be able to do that. It's a full day course, and the city will provide lunch. It will be a fabulous lunch. I look forward to that.
And you said Terry DeBone's going to pick up the tab for that, right?
Tony.
Or Tony?
Yeah.
Or Terry will do the catering.
There you go. Other...
Anything else, guys?
No, welcome aboard.
Anxious for that class, hey?
Yeah, I think that would be a tremendous asset. Really helps.
Let's do it soon.
Well, thank you, John. Appreciate you being here tonight. And we'll talk about scheduling that class hopefully here in the next couple months. And just appreciate you coming on board. And I know that the Planning Commission is equally as excited. So thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. I'll look forward to seeing you in person, sir.
So, shall we move on to
5,000 land use updates now?
So, just some updates. Since I've last
seen you all, I approved of a variance, and you all should have gotten a notice of decision for that. And I think mine and Jeff's, ultimately, our motivation with that was, you know, if this was a lot in the residential and it's in Crescent Creek. Right. So if we didn't allow for a variance, and they followed the minor variance standards, which he was just asking for a variance on the side setbacks, and he only deviated by 25%. So instead of 10 feet, it was 7.5. But ultimately, we approved it because, you know, if it wasn't developed with a single family home eventually, and it would have needed a variance, you know, any way you put it, it would have just sat empty, you know, and it could have just started collecting trash and who knows, you know. So in a neighborhood like that, I think that was sort of, you know, what we needed to do on that one. Other things I
question.
Sure. Yeah.
But I thought we were trying to keep it consistent in what
right.
we plan on doing and not giving somebody a break
mm-hmm.
and saying 7.5 because of this or this.
Right.
You know, we don't know that the trash would have been there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I just mean so. I think we need to be careful not to say so. We went ahead and did it. That's not okay, in my opinion.
Right.
I mean, for now, of course, you made the decision.
So I can add to that. You know, there's standard criteria. It's sometimes worded differently from city to city when it comes to variances, but the ethos is the same. Is this a hardship that somebody is creating for themselves, or is this a hardship that's being imposed upon them through no design on their own part? Are they at a disadvantage compared to their neighbors for the same type of land or lot that their neighbors have, and are they being denied a property right that their neighbors get to enjoy? Is the extension of a variance, is it going to promote the public good over private gain, or is the private gain going to be promoted over public good? Those are sort of the outlines or the borders, if you will, around the variance process. And what we found with this particular applicant is, through no fault of his own, that lot was platted at a disadvantage. So whoever did that, it was before our time, but they put it below the minimum standards, but it was a minor variance or a minor deviation that was through no fault of the property owner. that lot sitting vacant, yeah, we don't know what the future would hold. That's definitely, we can't look into a crystal ball and say. But the community would be better served by a house being there than it sitting vacant, because that way it's contributing to our user fees, it's contributing to our tax base. And it's not out of the scope of what's intended for that neighborhood. It's a house going into a housing development where there are houses that look just like it or more or less just like it. And ultimately, the guy is at a disadvantage because through no fault of his own, the platting was done incorrectly. So we felt that it met the standards and that he was at that disadvantage that wasn't designed or were created by, you know, essentially, here's a good example, somebody saying, oh, I want to build to 28 feet or 24 feet, let's say that's the standard. And then they put in a bunch of fill and we say, well, you can't build to the height that you want to, but you created that problem yourself before you came and talked to us. So we didn't feel that it was creating a precedent. It fell well within the scope of this person saying, I'm in a very particular situation that's not going to apply across the board. And I think that's represented nicely in the findings, so. And we went back and forth on this quite a bit.
Yeah, and just to add to that, like Jeff said, I truly don't think it would set a precedent. You know, I think it's very different when a developer comes to us knowing well and good what the setbacks are and just wanting to not do that, you know? I think having one singular lot in a development that is misshaped, you know, from years ago and allowing it there as opposed to just allowing developers to have smaller setbacks than the code is asking of them. I think those are very different things, you know? So I totally agree with you guys. You know, I'm on your side. I think that these things can be slippery slopes for sure, but I think when you have that support in the findings and the decision, you have the facts to back it up, then you put yourself in a good place, you know?
Jeff explained it well.
Okay.
In my opinion, that's fine.
Okay.
Because, you know, even, I know you're adding, but even then, I would still question some things, but I think that explained it very well.
Well, and as I said to Alexa, as we both put our two cents into the findings that she wrote for the majority of what was produced, I asked of myself, if the city was to get an appeal on this and it was to go to the Land Use Board of Appeals, could I stand on this position that we have here in our findings? Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So.
Okay, that makes sense. Thank you.
Well, we're not so big that we shouldn't be able to take things one at a time, one case at a time, if we need to. My gosh.
No, just a lot
yeah.
of them don't.
Remember, rules are a guideline.
Always exceptions.
Codes are guidelines.
Just so we don't want to make a precedent.
But
absolutely.
We want to be real careful of those. That's why, obviously, Kathy Pizzica, I've already gone through all of this with for Alexa.
Where'd you go?
And the way it was explained to me was the same as Jeff was explained now, was it is not setting a precedent throughout the whole thing. This is something that was, the lot was actually laid out 20 years ago, which was 5 years before we ever became a city.
And those setbacks were different at that time.
And the setbacks were different.
Yeah.
And we've lived with that ever since up there at Crescent Creek area because we have a lot of places that are being built right now that are not up to our standards.
Right.
But they were also.
Well, it was planning under the county standards. And, you know, it's like, okay, well, so the rules were, let's just, you know, arbitrarily say green. And now we're trying to apply orange to it, but that's not fair to the landowner. If they came in after the fact and were trying to redesign it, a whole different story.
Sure. No, makes perfect sense.
And the, you know, I personally have gone out there and looked at the lot. And yeah, it does fit in there. And 7.5 foot versus 10 foot is not going to kill us one way or another. You can still get people in and out on the side.
Sure.
And
okay.
You do not lean your hand out the window and ask for all of your neighbors breakfast tables. That's the one thing that I saw that in Forest Grove when they tanked up those setbacks. You never want to see it here.
Right.
It's just ridiculous.
Thank you. That was a good answer. Thank you.
But I think Ms. Repko had more information to provide.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, if you guys. So other than that, I just finished up the Frontier Days conditional use permit and Jeff is going to be reviewing it tomorrow, so that should be out this week. What else? I'm looking at a site plan and a lot line adjustment for the Allen's storage on schedule. I don't know if anybody's familiar with that. What else? Working on a final plat for Drafter. It's sort of on hold right now because they're trying to decide whether they want to bond for the public improvements or just get them over with now. And then another thing I have on hold is, I don't know if you all recall the Finley Butte site plan that got sent around a notice of application for that. It's quadplexes. So this is an example of when a site plan would have been helpful. You know, we're getting to review this application and they're not even close to meeting setbacks. I mean, I think they're like halfway there, if that. So they have to go back to the drawing board almost completely. So that's on hold. We have a pre-op tomorrow. And then I also tomorrow I'm meeting with City Club. I don't know if any of you are familiar with them. Yeah, so they're gonna be going over some wildfire stuff and we're gonna start working with the county about maybe adopting some building codes that would help in the prevention of, you know, wildfire spread. So I'll definitely keep you in the loop on that. We're just in very initial talks. But I think, you know, generally that's a good idea to think about those things and emergency planning. But I think that's it. Just some code enforcement stuff, building permits, inspections, you know, all the usual. Yeah.
Anything else? Questions, answers?
No, not for me, thank you.
I'm fine.
I'm good.
That's scary. Come on, guys. Gotta find some more.
And you should all be seeing a zone change soon. We're gonna have to have a public hearing about that, so just a heads up. So I've sent it to the state and we just have to wait to hear back from them. And then we can, once we hear back from them, we can schedule, we'll have to do a public hearing with council, planning commission, before I can write a decision. So, yep.
That requires DLCDs, you know, basically good graces to go forward, because they're gonna look at our inventory of the different zoning that we have. And regardless of the merits of the application, they're going to say from on high, this is either a good or bad idea for the line.
Can you give us better idea what I'm talking about?
So it would be industrial to commercial mixed use, yep. Okay. And there would be a site plan and partition that would all be sort of reviewed simultaneously on that property. It's a big piece. It's up in the corner here on the map.
That's one going out.
Where Russell meets Reed?
Newberry. States.
I think so.
Adjacent to Newberry?
No, Russell? I don't think it's adjacent. It's before.
Is it below the sewer area?
I haven't looked at the map.
It's the VFW and on out there. If I'm correct.
Okay, wait a second. Darlene, Reed,
Roslyn Road.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, we're up there.
Yeah, I think it's in the Roslyn area. If I remember.
Okay,
it's a big
okay.
So
gotcha.
It's, there are two places out there that I think are in the city.
Yes.
That right now, they're large lots, but they want to do it commercial versus.
Yeah, it's currently industrial, and they endeavor to do some
we
housing, and you can't do housing.
Some industrial. Mixed use. I gotcha.
Just a question on the schedule on the storage units. Mm-hmm. Is that the one that's already got a fence around it?
Yeah, they have the one storage unit on their one lot, and then it's
around the other one right next to it.
Yeah, so on the first lot, I think they have it's the one with dark wire because it's non-conforming, and then the storage they're going to be doing on the lot that they own that abuts that lot will be storage as well.
No barbed wire up there.
No, there won't be.
Take it down once, so let's keep it down.
Right.
It's tacky. I hate barbed wire. I've got a 6-inch scar from barbed wire.
So yikes.
Don't like this.
I'm going to Washington, D.C. Hang on, Russ.
Don't play with it. That's all I can say. Okay. Anything else?
I think that's it, unless anybody has any other questions.
As long as you keep us up to date, I'm
Yeah, and if anybody ever wants to see, you know, further application materials, you're more than welcome to stop by or call.
One I did have, it's Roslyn Road, they're going to be putting a storage unit out off a drafter right in there. And from what I can see, it's a 56-acre lot. And they're using 9 acres of it for storage unit.
That might be this that you're thinking of.
I just wondered what else they're going to be.
Yeah, I think they're going to be doing some housing. I think that's the intention with commercial mixed use. But like I said, these are all going to be sort of reviewed simultaneously.
I just wondered whether you had a additional idea on what they were planning on besides.
Yeah, I think it's pretty preliminary right now.
Because we have more storage units and marijuana around here than we really need.
Got a lot of both.
Yeah, lots of storage units.
Yeah.
I can't believe every time I turn around, it seems like there's another storage unit.
But they're filling up fast too.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the sad part.
Obviously, they're making money, but otherwise they wouldn't be building.
That's because people can't find a place to live and they're living in a trailer and having their stuff stuck in a storage unit someplace.
Yep.
But we have, hopefully John will give us some good ideas also on how to do some of our development future.
Correct.
Any other old business?
I have none.
No.
Any other helpful answer from the city manager?
Not at this time. I think we put it all out on the table.
Public comments.
You can step up to the podium if you want.
I just have a question with that zone change. So if you've got developers that apparently own the land right now,
mm-hmm.
And they're asking for a zone change that has to go to the state,
mm-hmm.
Do you have fees for that developer that cover city fees to do all that work?
So you mean like an application fee?
Well, you know,
development.
I'm not sure if the state charges anything to review, but as for the city, I believe it's $4,000 for a zone change because it obviously takes a lot of staff time.
Yeah, that's all I have.
Okay.
Thank you. Thanks for your work.
What's your name, by the way?
My name's Carrie Greiner.
Okay.
I just bought this building over here called Ellie Mae's.
Oh, you did? Good.
So that's going through.
Are we
going
to find out what you're doing with them?
Yeah, you've got my tenant. Kodiak Malmstrom is applying for, he's got plans that, he just had a meeting this morning with somebody.
You recently sent an email, and people asked as to what kind of business this or what you thought we could use here.
No, I put something on Facebook.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Patty Poking has,
exactly.
You know, what's happening.
And you got some good responses.
Lots of stuff.
Yeah. Good. Okay. Thank you.
Dry cleaners, movie theaters, and a swimming pool, right?
there was like possibly a Safeway, a deli sandwich place,
Fred
perhaps
Meyer.
A meat market someday, those kinds of things. There were some good things. And somebody said, as far as the pool, yes. But the answer to that person was, you can rent a room and use the indoor pool after the COVID is over.
That's right.
Which I thought was kind of fitting.
Yeah, my wife would put in, we need another car wash.
Oh my God, yeah. There could be some improvements there.
Oh, I see. Yeah. That way.
Just buy a hose. You have the property.
Buy a hose? That's
I like the vision thing that John brought up as well. You know, he's talking about what does the city want, you know? I mean, anecdotally, we have this Facebook post where people have, you know, responded. But, you know, that's going to be a fun project to get the city or the, you know, the residents to buy in and say, this is what we think Lapine should be looking like 10, 15, 20 years from now. Hopefully that will be a great, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's something that we need to work with. That's something that we talk about working on because a lot of people are still saying, they want to change, keep it the same. That's not okay anymore. I mean, there's too many people coming and we're in a different day and age than when it first started. I mean, so we still want to keep that feel, but have, you know, the community feel. but have things that will make life for all of us easier.
Yeah. We've got to educate people about the fact that we are living in Lapine in the city, but there's so many people with Lapine mailing addresses that think they're Lapineites too, and they're the ones that are feeding into the Facebook feeds. And we need to, you know, if we're going to ask the people of Lapine what they want, then it better be the people of Lapine that answer.
That's a good point, because a lot of them live outside the city.
They don't have any idea. The people that live and get mail at the Lapine address, they think they're here in the city. They have no idea, Jeff.
City
We've got it.
I understand. I had three applications turned in for city council for the two openings that we have for people that live outside the city limits, and they just didn't understand the separation and jurisdictional areas.
We had to do the same thing for planning, because they live outside 5 miles away from the city.
Right. It's a 5 mile rule for planning commission.
To everybody that gets their mail here, this is their city, and you know, we've got to deal with that in a different way than we have been. It's
unfortunately, all the way down to Christmas Valley, they still think Lapine is their city.
Well, that's Lake County, Klamath County. It's a little different situation, but there's lots of people.
The
other 22,000 Lapineites are living outside the limits.
So you call them Lapineites, we call them Lapineese.
Yeah.
Bentites and Lapineites and Redmondians and Pavilions.
Okay, guys. Get off track here.
Sorry.
That are public comments. Staff has said they don't have anything else. Anything else from the councilors?
No, not for me.
Not for me.
I move we adjourn.
Yeah, I'm.
And I second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.